We continue our studies in this brief series on prophecy, and we've been dealing in the last couple of sessions with respect to the coming of the Lord and the church. For those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, may I say that there is hope for the church, there is hope for Israel, there is hope for the nations of the earth. God has very clearly declared his program for this age and in the coming age. In Acts chapter 15, where James, the brother of our Lord, the head of the church in Jerusalem, said that Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And this is the church. After this, after he's through gathering out a people for his name, he's going to return and rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, build up the ruins thereof, and so forth. That's the restoration of Israel to its rightful place before God. And then, following that, the very nations of the earth are going to hear and be brought to the saving knowledge of God. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of creation. So you have that brief statement in Acts chapter 15. We've been following through the question. In the Bible, it speaks of ages past and the present age and ages to come, so on. But I want to especially keep in mind that there are three groups with respect to prophecy. There's the Jew, there's the church, there's the Gentiles. Paul speaks of this, you remember, to the Corinthian church, gave offense to no man, neither to Jew, Gentile, nor to the church of God. The church as an entity is never Israel. Israel is never the church. And we've taken up in our past lessons the hope of the believer is to be with Christ now. Then we were discussing the hope of the church. Is salvation yet to be revealed when these very bodies will be redeemed? When our Lord died for us, he died for the whole man, spirit, soul, body. And now we're waiting for the redemption of our bodies, as Paul speaks of it in Romans chapter 8, between verses 18 down to verse 26. And then we have the fact that in Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ are going to be raised. The living on the earth who love the Savior will be reunited with them and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And the marvelous promise of God that we shall see him face to face and be just like our Savior. And the great prayer of our Lord for his own will be answered then. And that prayer was, you remember, in John 17:24, Father, I will that all those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. A wonderful thing to know that we're going to be just like him. Now, I'd like to continue that today and possibly finish this brief series on the church. For I read, in an hour that you think not, he's going to come. Now, the question has been raised. I've had some mail on this and some telephones on this concerning the question of the church and the translation of the church. In fact, one asked me to show them a verse where there was the word rapture in, where it speaks of the rapture of the church. Well, there's no such verse where it speaks of the rapture of the church. We speak of the translation of the church in Thessalonians chapter 4 and Corinthians chapter 15. And the question was raised that the church will go through the tribulation. There are those who are post-tribulationists. They believe that the church is going to go through the tribulation. And when the Lord comes to set up his kingdom, the dead in Christ are raised, and those who are still on the earth at that time will be reunited and come down with the Lord to start his millennial reign. And then there are those who are called amillennialists. They do not believe that God is going to restore Israel. There's not going to be a literal kingdom on earth. And that when the Lord comes for his own, he starts eternity. And to them also, the church goes through the tribulation period. And so we have differences of opinion concerning the time of the coming of our Lord for his own. Personally, I'm fully persuaded in my own mind that we can expect the Lord to come today in an hour that you think not. Now, just let me make one or two statements. And I'm not going to argue with you about this because truth is never imparted by argument. Truth is imparted by the Spirit of God to an open heart. I want that very clearly understood. that you do not get spiritual truth by argument. If you're going to argue about a situation, you don't go any further. You are more determined that you are right and the other fellow is wrong. The question is, what does the Bible say? And in discussing this question of the Word of God and our relationship to the Savior, I'm fully persuaded in my mind that the Church of Christ is an entity. It's a group of people, redeemed individuals, who receive the Savior in this age from the resurrection of Christ till He comes for His own. Now let me suggest this to you. What we call the Great Tribulation in the Bible deals with the judgments of God upon the earth. Now it is true that all of us experience tribulation. Our Lord could say in John 16:33, "In me you will have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." But what is known as the Great Tribulation, from the book of Revelation chapter 5, say, right on down to chapter 19, where the judgments of God are poured upon men. The tribulation has to do with the judgments of God. For example, you read in some of these, the breaking of the seals and the blowing of the trumpet, that one half of the population of the world is slain. A half of the population of the world. We're not here. Now, let me just suggest, you think about this. In Revelation 3:10, it says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of trial that is to come upon the earth dwellers." The tribulation is never mentioned, for example, in the upper room discourse. When our Lord has His disciples by Himself in the upper room, from chapters 13 through 17 of the Gospel through John, there's absolutely no mention made of the church in tribulation. You would think, would you not, that if God was going to put the church through the time of the Great Tribulation, there'd be some mention made of it. You do not find it in the epistles. It's never mentioned. It's true we have tests and trials. But let me remind you, the Great Tribulation is the outpouring of the judgment and wrath of God upon men. In Revelation, from the beginning of chapter 4 of Revelation, running right through chapter 19, there is no mention made of the church. Rather strange, is it not? That you have the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3, and it's never again mentioned till you come to the end of chapter 19. Where is the church? With her Savior and in glory. The Lord is dealing with the nation Israel and with the nations of the earth. Now, it might be well for me to make this statement. The great doctrine in Scripture concerning prophecy is the day of the Lord. The whole Old Testament and much in the New Testament has to do with the day of the Lord. Now, the day of the Lord is a prophetical a time in the purpose and program of God. For example, we read in the book of Joel, chapter 2, and I'm going to mention this when I deal in our next lessons with the nation Israel, but allow me to bring it in here in connection with the church. The day of the Lord starts in judgment. In Joel chapter 2, it tells us it's a day of gloom, a day of darkness. There never has been a time like it before. There never will be a time like it again. In the book of Daniel chapter 12, "At that time shall Michael stand up, who is the prince of thy people," that is the prince of Israel, "and at that time there shall be a time of trouble, not since there was a nation, nor ever will be." Rather amazing, is it not? In the book of Matthew chapter 24, when our Lord is answering the question, "What is the sign of thy coming and the end of the age?" He begins to tell us what will take place on the earth before He comes to reign. Now, the church is not even in the chapter. He's answering the disciples' question, "What is the sign of thy coming and the end of the age?" The disciples knew nothing about the church. What they were concerned was the coming kingdom when the Lord will reign on the earth. You take the book of Acts, chapter 1, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? This was still in their minds. And in chapter 24, when they asked the question, the Lord prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem and also the time of the great tribulation. And our Lord says, there never was a time like it before, and there never will be a time like it again. Now remember, we're dealing with a particular time in the history of the world when God is going to pour out his judgments upon men. You take the prophet Zephaniah, the first chapter. Zephaniah talks about the day of the Lord as a day, not only a day of darkness, but a day of wrath. This is the beginning of the day of the Lord. Now notice it's connected with the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord cometh, and as many other scriptures one could read. What I'm trying to get to your heart is this: the Church of Jesus Christ will not be on the earth during the outpouring of the judgment and wrath of God upon men. The main thing to remember is that this is how the day of the Lord starts. It's a time of judgment. It's a time known as the Great Tribulation, as found in Revelation from 5 through 19. Allow me to quote to you, for example, such passages as Romans 5, 9, where Paul says, much more being now justified by his blood. The chapter starts, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. He's talking to Christians. And in verse 9 he says, much more being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. In Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, where Paul says, how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, even Jesus, whom he raised from the dead, who hath delivered us from the wrath to come. Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. In John 5:24, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Now you see, Mr. Mitchell, well, that means we'll not stand before the white throne judgment. Well, that's true. But may I say, making that word an all-inclusive word, the tribulation period is a time of the judgments and wrath of God upon men. And you can't read verses, say, from chapter 5 through 19 of Revelation without realizing this is a period of time that is, the world has never seen a time like it, and it will never see a time like it again. This is a special period when God is going to purge the earth of unbelievers, Jew and Gentile. And the church will not even be on the scene. The church will be with her Lord in heaven. My friend, this is the blessed hope. We are to look for his Son from heaven. We are not to look for the coming of Antichrist. We are not to look toward the time of the judgment and wrath of God. We've been delivered from this. We are to wait for his Son from heaven. But the tragedy is that too many of God's people are not living in anticipation of that coming. Allow me to quote two or three verses again. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6 to 8, where Paul says, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There is therefore laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. It's a wonderful thing, is it not? To love his appearing. And may I just take a moment or two? The responsibility of believers in view of the coming of the Lord. We are to wait in expectancy. In expectancy for the Lord to come. And you remember how often the Lord spoke of the fact to his disciples, what I say unto one, I say unto all, watch, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes. He's talking about we ought to wait in expectancy. We ought to watch. In Thessalonians 5, we are not to sleep as do others. We're to watch and be sober. Likewise in 1 Peter, Peter chapter 4 speaks of the fact, the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. We are to be as men who wait for their Lord. We are to live in expectation of his return. Allow me again to go back to Romans 13, speaking of the practical side of this wonderful question of living in expectation of the blessed hope. For you remember in John 3, 1 John 3, 3, everyone who hath this hope set on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It's a purifying hope. In Romans 13, 11 to 14, you remember that passage? Knowing the time, it is now high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when you believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Notice what the works of darkness are. And you've got three couplets. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. These are outbroken sins of society. Rioting and drunkenness. Let us as Christians have no part in it. And then he goes on, not in chambering and wantonness. These are the secret sins of society. The immorality of the human heart. Chambering, wantonness, may it not be mentioned among us as becometh the saints of God. These sins of uncleanness and immorality, let it not even once be named among us. Then the third, strife and envying. These are sins of the heart. Notice the first two, outbroken sins of society, rioting and drunkenness. The secret sins of society, wantonness, chambering. Sins of the heart, strife and envying. These are the works of darkness. And in view of the coming of the Lord, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Appropriate Christ for every day. And do not make any provision for the lust of the flesh to fulfill it in the lusts thereof. Oh, what an exhortation for us. And may I just suggest 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now little children, abide in him. Stay in fellowship with him, so that when he shall appear, we shall have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Do you know, I'm persuaded there are going to be a great many Christians who love the Savior. I'm not going to question that. But are going to be ashamed before the Lord when he comes. This is a purifying hope. This is a wonderful thing. God grant we'll not be ashamed before him at his coming. And now may one further word, the urgency of it. The expectancy. In Hebrews 10:37. Do you remember it? Where the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Hebrew church, speaks of this fact, of the anticipation, the expectancy of the coming of our Lord, when he said, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. He's even at the door. Christian, the Lord Jesus is even at the door. This may be the day. I may never finish this series of messages. The Lord Jesus may come today. Are you and I going to be living in an expectancy for yet a little while? And he that shall come will not tarry. And those marvelous last words of our Savior in Revelation 22 when he said to John, "Surely I come quickly." May your heart and my heart respond and say, "Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus." It may be today. And whether you agree with me or not on this question of the translation of the church and the time of it, may I say, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll both go up together. And we're going to spend eternity together in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And the marvelous thing is, you're going to be changed, and I'm going to be changed. And we're going to be just like him. God grant we may know something of the intimacy of fellowship with him these days, and may I add, precious fellowship with each other because we love the Savior. And the Lord bless you. And may I suggest, he that shall come, and will not tarry. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus.